I'll be reading from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 16 on the wall there. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you.
From the reading this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we find that the Apostle Paul had a great desire to go to the church at Ephesus and to see the people at Ephesus again. He wanted to be with Timothy again, and he wanted to see the Christians that were there and work with them and study with them. We don't know if he ever made it or not. The scriptures do not tell us. This was getting closer to the end of his life, and we really don't know a lot about that. So we don't know if he ever made it back to Ephesus or not. But in this particular writing that he gave to Timothy on this occasion, he told Timothy some things that he wanted him to do until Paul was able to be with him. And what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about these things that Paul told Timothy to do as an evangelist and as a Christian there at the church at Ephesus. And there are basically three things that he talked about, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. First of all, Paul said, until I come, I want you to emphasize God's word. Now, there are three main things about this that he was to devote himself to when you emphasize the word of God. He wanted Timothy to spend his time reading the scriptures. He wanted Timothy to live a life of exhortation. He also wanted Timothy to be sure to include the doctrine in his work there while he was at Ephesus. Now, reading the scriptures, of course, we do know that this is such an important part of Christianity, because we can't be effective Christians unless we understand what God's word has to say to us. You know, as an evangelist, Paul is telling Timothy that this was part of his duty to be sure to it that the word of God is read, that it is heard, that it is understood, and that it was done in a very appropriate way. It is so important for us today to be sure that we use God's word in our efforts to live for him. Because how will you know how to live for him unless you follow the word that he has given to us? So important, even here together as in this public assembly, that we pay close attention to the reading of God's word. Now, you know, there are a lot of congregations who don't formally read from the Bible as a part of their worship service. They allow the minister to bring scriptures in with his sermons. And, of course, I bring scripture in practically every sermon that I preach. Now, I have in the past written sermons that did not actually follow a direct scripture or even use a direct scripture in that sermon. For example, if you were to pick up and read from the book of Esther, you will not find the word of God or any reference to God whatsoever in the book of Esther. Now, that doesn't mean that Esther is a bad book, because the story of Esther is a story of godly principles. And we understand that because of the life that she lived and the things that happened in her book. But the word God is not mentioned in the book of Esther. Neither is any reference to God at all in that particular book. So you can read from the Bible in one book particularly, and God will never be mentioned. But we need to remember our God in our study. That's why Paul tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. The only way we can do that is to open his book and to read from it and to learn from it and to understand. And that is the point here that Paul is trying to make to Timothy, that every Christian should devote themselves to the reading and the understanding of God's Word. That's why we bring our Bibles to worship with us. I know some now put Bibles on their phones, and we read from our phones, and that's perfectly okay because it is still God's Word that you are reading. It is so important that we understand the importance of reading and studying and understanding God's Word. You know, the second thing that he mentioned in this was exhortation. Now, when you exhort someone, what are you actually doing? You are trying to encourage them. You are trying to press them forward, to move in the right direction. It also means on occasions you may have to warn them of going in the wrong direction and exhort them to turn around and to bring their lives back to Christ. But I think maybe most of all, we use exhortation as a source of strength to help other people grow in their strength, in their love, in their dedication to God. And this is what Paul was asking of Timothy, because obviously Timothy was not where Timothy needed to be spiritually in life. Timothy was like everyone else. He was a growing Christian being, and he needed to grow. He needed to learn more. He needed to understand more. He needed to apply more Christianity in his life. And so Paul said he was exhorting him to do that. And at the same time, he was telling Timothy, I want you to exhort the people to do that. Now, how do you do that? The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 10, verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. In other words, we do this for each other. We come together collectively to worship God for the purpose of worshiping God, but we are also encouraging each other by being here together. We are helping each other to gain in our strength, our love, and our dedication to God by coming together to worship Him. And this is what Paul is telling us here as he is telling Timothy. We must do this together. We exhort one another. We push one another on. We keep one another moving down that straight and narrow path that Jesus spoke of. And we must put that as a great part of our Christianity. That exhortation, that we exhort each other. The third thing that is involved in emphasizing God's Word is to be sure that you emphasize the doctrine. Be sure that you emphasize the truth. The teachings must come from the truth. The truth is what the people need to hear. Because what have you learned if you learn a lie? What have you learned that can benefit you in life if it is a lie? You can't trust a lie. You can't follow a lie and know that you're going to wind up at the right place. That is why it is so important for us to be sure that we teach the truth and nothing but the truth. It is said that some 22 times the phrase of teaching or doctrine shows up in the books of 1 and 2 Timothy and in the books of Titus, the three books of which Paul wrote, that the truth was that important, that the brethren be taught correctly, that they work within the truth of God's Word correctly. Because you know, a congregation that does not follow the truth of God's Word is a weak congregation. We find that to be the case in some of the churches of Asia that we read of in Revelations chapter 2 and chapter 3. Some of these churches had got off of base. They had started moving in the wrong direction. And the reason for that is they had left the truth. They had started forming other opinions, other ideas that come from man's mind, and it destroyed the truth that God had given to them. So we need to be sure that we teach the truth. And as listeners, we need to be sure that we are hearing the truth. Now, you've heard me say several times from this pulpit, I would never tell you anything wrong deliberately. But I am human. Red blood runs through my veins just like it does yours. And I am capable of making mistakes. And even though I would never tell you anything wrong deliberately, I might by mistake say something that is incorrect. And that's why not only do you need to listen to me, you need to check up on me to be sure that everything that I says is coming from the truth of God's word. That is so important. Every Christian should be able to identify the truth, not only in listening to it and hearing it, but also in teaching it. These three things allows us to put tremendous emphasis on God's word. The next thing that Paul says, until I come, use your spiritual gifts. Now, I want to go back to verse 14 again, which was read for us earlier. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Now, this is some specific things that Paul is talking about here. But generally speaking, everyone in this room who is a Christian has been given a gift. We have something within us that we can give to God. We have a work within us that we can do for God. Regardless of who we are, how young we are, or how old we are, there is something that we can do for our Lord that has been given to us for that purpose. We have been gifted by God. It may be just a personality that people will love to listen to that would hear you when you say, worship with me, study with me, learn about God's word with me. Sometimes that's the greatest gift we can give anyone, is an opportunity to learn and to listen. We may have an appearance. There may be something about us that just draws people to us. You know, Jesus had to have that when he was here on this earth, because thousands of people followed Jesus every day, and there had to be something special about him that drew people to him. Perhaps you have that characteristic about you that people will just automatically come to you. They just naturally want to listen to the things that you have to say, and they will take it as something that is very important to them in their life. Maybe that's your gift. Maybe you have another gift. Maybe your gift is more physical. Maybe your gift is something that you can help just pick up or clean or just whatever it is that you can do for the Lord. And we can all do things like that, can't we? But there is something that we must do. And Paul said, you do that until I come. You know, every Christian has the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we were baptized into Christ, it happened just as Peter said it would. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us who have done that, we have that gift. Therefore, we need to process that gift. We need to develop that gift, whatever it happens to be. And our gifts are all different. We have many gifts. We need to use them. We need to use them effectively. And the only way, again, that we can use something effectively is to use it over and over and over again. Listen to Paul in Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts, there's that word again, in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads, lead with diligence. And he who shows mercy, do it with cheerfulness. These are all gifts. These are all things that can that we can use to benefit not only ourselves, but we can use to benefit each other in life. You know, one of the saddest things is to have a blessing or to have a gift and we hide it and we don't use it. You know, that has actually happened before. If you're one of those people who do this, let me tell you, you're not the first one to do it, and you're not the one that thought it up. We can go back to Matthew chapter 25, and we can hear the story that Jesus gave about the one talent man who did not use the gift that was given to him. And I want to read to you beginning in verse 25, and listen very carefully to this, because if you're one of these people, this is your fate. I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, see, here you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reaped where I had not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received my own back with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. The master was not happy with the one who did not use his talent, his ability, his gift. Now here's the worst part of this story. It comes from verse 30. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. My friends, if you're sitting there today with a gift that God has given to you and you refuse to do anything with it, listen to that verse very carefully. Because God is very consistent, and your fate will be the same as this man. God expects us to use the gift that has been given to us. Use it. And then, Paul said, until I come, devote yourself fully to Christ. Verse 15 of our text, he said, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that you may progress and that your progress may be evident to all. Now, I really like the way the New American Standard Version of the Bible says this, because it's a little plainer English that we can understand. He says, I want you to take pains with this. I want you to work at this until it hurts. I want you to do so much for the Lord that you feel like I've reached my limit, and it is so much involved. That's what God is expecting from us. Then he goes, then the American Standard goes on to say, be absorbed. And what do you do when you are absorbed in something? It has completely filled you. It is in every part of you. This is what God expects of you if you're going to devote yourself to him. You do it in a way that is full, a way that is complete. Meditate on it, he said. Absorb yourself in it, he said. You know, there is only one way to succeed in the business of souls, and that is if you totally devote yourself to the task. Because let me tell you something, my friends. If you don't totally absorb yourself in this task, and you don't get the reward that comes from absorbing yourself in this task, look what you have lost. In other words, we just simply have to give it our all. Jesus said, you know, you can't serve two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or you will hold to the one and despise the other. You're not going to have it both ways. The one talent man couldn't hold on to what the master had given him and just hide it and keep it safe for him and give it back. That's not what God's wanting out of us. We're expected to use it. We're expected to devote ourselves fully to him. And then finally, Paul says, until I come, You need to take a spiritual inventory. Verse 16. Paul is telling Timothy to pay close attention to himself and close attention to his teaching. First of all, Timothy, take heed to yourself. Be sure that your life is the way it needs to be before you go out and try to tell someone else's life how to be. You be sure that you are following my word. You be sure that you are completing my law before you go out and try to tell someone else. And you know, I'm afraid this is a real deal breaker with many Christians today. I mean, you think about it. Who is going to listen to you if you don't even follow the rules yourself? Do you think anyone is going to take the time to seriously consider what you have to say when you're not even doing it yourself? What would you think about a State Farm insurance agent who went out trying to sell you State Farm insurance and he had Allstate? How serious would you take that person? Well, you're not. How can you go out, and I hate to use this word, but it's a good one to use, and sell Christianity in your life if you don't even have it in your life? How can you do that? Well, simple. You can't. Jesus put it another way in Matthew chapter 7. He tells the story of someone who goes around looking for splinters. Now, we've all had splinters in our fingers, and they can be an irritating little thing, and sometimes they're very difficult to remove. We have Christians today who are walking around, and they're looking for splinters in the lives of other people. But what do they have in their own eye? A log. Y'all know the difference in a splinter and a log? Yeah. Don't walk around with a big plank in your eye and you're looking for a little bitty piece of wood that can barely be seen in the lives of other people and tell them that they're wrong, that they're sinful. And here you are like this. Who's going to listen to you, first of all? And what is God going to think of you, second of all? We need to take inventory. Don't try to teach others until you do it yourself. Not going to work. You know, this reminds me, when I was in high school, I took a physical science class in high school, and I had a physical science teacher who knew just about as much about physical science as I did, and I didn't know anything about physical science. Now, back in the 70s, you could get away with that. You could, in the 70s, a teacher could teach a class that they were not qualified to teach. I don't think that's true anymore, but back in the 70s it was. And our teacher, our physical science teacher, knew absolutely nothing about physical science. But I want you to know that when that class was over, when we finished that class, I knew a lot more about physical science than she did. Now, the way that worked out, we basically taught ourselves. And she just sat up there behind her desk and watched us do it. And in fact, I guess it had it not been for two people, Marty Snoddy and Brenda Michaels, they were the smart ones in my class. Had it not been for them, we would have all failed that class. They happened to have a natural ability when it came to physical science, and they helped the rest of us pass that class. And it was so evident because every time one of us would ask the teacher a question, about the class, you know, her response was always this: Marty, what do you think about that? Or Brenda, would you like to explain that to them? Because she couldn't. She didn't know it. She went to the two people that we went to for the answers, the ones who understood it. And I'm very thankful for Marty and Brenda because they helped me pass physical science that year. When it comes to our spirituality, the only way to know what is right is to study it, learn it, absorb it, and understand it. Paul said, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Then he said, test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you unless you become disqualified? Do you know this morning, my friends, is Jesus Christ in you? Do you know that for a fact? You know how he would have got there? By examining ourselves, by testing ourselves, to be sure that we understand God and his word. Faithfulness means something that we have to put into our lives every day. Timothy was to do these things and persevere. He was to continue in them. He was to drive himself in him. He was to push himself along in these things. And not only that, he was to help others do the very same thing. And these are the things that we must do. Until Jesus comes, we must look to the reading of the scripture. We must look to using our spiritual gifts. We must fully develop and devote ourselves to Christ. And we must every day take inventory of our lives to see to it that they are as they need to be. These were the things that Timothy was to do until Paul came. My friends, these are the things that we are to do until the Lord comes. Christian, as his child, are you doing these things? Are you putting these things into your life? Are you giving to God all of the things that he has asked of you as his child? Are you opening up that book? Are you reading his instructions? Are you applying these things to your life? Are you using the gifts that God has given you to use as his child? Are you fully devoting yourself to him in everything, in every way of your life? And when you take spiritual inventory of yourself, what do you see? Do you see the right things that God would want to see in your life? These are the things that Paul is asking, not only of Timothy, but of us as well, because God is watching us. The Lord is coming back to decide whether we have been doing this or not. So if you haven't been doing this, change your life and begin it the right way today and continue in it for the rest of your life. And this morning, my friends, if you are not a Christian, you need to hear his word. Not only do you need to hear it, you need to listen to it and you need to believe it. And then you need to take action upon that faith, that what you have now believed, and you need to change your life through repenting of your sins. You need to confess Jesus as God's Son, knowing that it was him that came to this earth, it was him that gave us the example, it was him that went to the cross, and it was him that came out of that grave. And you need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. In similitude, you're going to do the very same thing that Jesus did. Jesus went to that death. He went into that tomb. He came out of that tomb. We need to go into that watery grave of baptism and come out of that watery grave of baptism a child of God. If you haven't done that, we give you an opportunity to do that today. Remember the things that Paul told Timothy. I want you to do these things until I come. Paul was an agent of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is telling us the very same thing today. Do these things in your life. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing. Please.